Throughout the past few days, we've had a great time studying the Word of God. I've shared with you experiences or stories, and we've looked in the Bible, and we've just kind of trying to get a better grasp of who we are as Christians and what God is expecting from us. And so that has been my mission, my goal, and everything I do. I try to do two things whenever I travel and speak. I try to expose the enemy, and I try to exalt my Savior. And I just feel like that's what God has called me to do. And so last night was absolutely amazing. If you were here last night with us and you had at the service last night, can you just raise your hand? I want to just see where we at. Praise the Lord. All right, put your hands down. Now, if you're one of the ones that said that you were ready to get rebaptized and get some studies to take that next step, can you also raise your hand? Praise God. Praise the Lord. And so I was really encouraged at what I saw last night, and I went back to my hotel last night. I was thinking, I was praying, the cold was still hitting me, and I'd just been rebuking the cold, drinking lots of water, taking my vitamins, and I woke up this morning, I was just stopped up. I didn't want to get out the bed, I didn't want to move, I felt so weak, and then my phone rang, and I got a call from Bermuda. I'm like, who is calling me from Bermuda? And so I answered the phone, and it was one of my good friends named Ty. And so I said, I'm like, hey, Ty, what's going on, man? He was like, hey, buddy, how you feeling, you know? I'm like, I'm feeling okay. He said, what's wrong with you? I said, man, I'm fighting this cold, you know. He said, that's why God told me to call you. I didn't know why. He just told me to call you. I was like, praise the Lord. And so God is so amazing. He knows exactly what you need, exactly when you need it. And, man, he called me, prayed with me. We started sharing testimonies. Next thing I know, I was up, walking around the room, excited, morning breath and all, you know, just ready for the world. And here we are now. And so looking at what took place last night, I want to share a secret with you all this morning that is going to help you remain victorious in your new walk with God. Many of you have accepted the appeals. You've rededicated your life to Christ. About 15 of you last night said that you want to get baptized or rebaptized, and so we're going to be pairing you with your pastors and the ministers at your local church, and some of you are even getting baptized today, and that's awesome. But what I wanted to do is I guess I just kind of wanted to warn you, or not necessarily warn you, but kind of give you a heads up to what's going to happen now. Because when we deal with life, when we deal with situations in life, and I'm going to ask for my adults, just to, you know, those, you know, the spiritual pillars that we have here, just throughout the service, just pray. This is a very spiritual battle here, okay? And so I wanted to leave you all with a word that would help you move forward in your spiritual growth. Because I believe that one of the biggest misconceptions in the church today, not even the Adventist church, just the church period, is when you get baptized, when you get dipped in that water and you rededicate your life to Christ, everything is going to be perfect. That is not true. Sometimes we have a way of preaching the gospel and we say, get your life right. It'll be perfect if you give your life to Christ. Let me tell you something. The Word of God makes it very clear that you're going to go through trials and you're going to go through hard times. And those times come to purify your character, to get you ready to be an inhabitant of the kingdom of heaven. But it's not going to be a cakewalk. I kind of feel like sometimes when we share messages, we need to start giving disclaimers, right? I think I'm going to start doing that. So when I start preaching, I'm going to start giving a disclaimer. You ever see that commercial on TV where, you know, it's like they're marketing Abilify or something like that, or like Viagra, whatever it is, right? They got this pill, and they're like, buy this pill. And you see the couple, they're happy, they're swinging, they're dancing. But do you ever hear the side effects that this has? The side effects are like, could cause diarrhea, could cause nausea, could cause vomiting, could cause heartburn. It's like all these things that this thing could cause. It's like, whoa. And so let me just tell you something. I'm about to pray and we're about to get started, but I want you to know ahead of time that when you sign up for God, when you sign up for this army, prepare for some trials. I mean, it's going to be some hard times. There's going to be persecution. Like the Bible talks all about it. Christ said, if you're going to be my disciple, you got to deny yourself and pick up your cross. The cross symbolizes death and persecution and trials and hard times. And so I want you mentally prepared for the word today. And I'm not going to be long because this is supposed to be like Sabbath school. So I'm supposed to do a light teaching. But I'm just going to share it the best way I know how. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, as we search your scriptures, as we read these verses, as we dialogue this morning, God, I pray that you make it real. Help us to receive it, God. Help us to receive it in the plainest form, God. Help us to receive it. We want to be able not only to have your power, but we want to be able to abide within your power, God. Help us to understand the power of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible makes it very clear what worship is and what worship does. And one thing I know about worship is that God says that he inhabits the praise of his people. So the key word here is inhabits. Like, he inhabits, he becomes a part of, he dwells within, right? I mean, it's so amazing, the worship element. And so I see you all now. I see you standing. We have praise and worship. Some of you look at praise and worship like it's special music, so you may just be looking. Some of you may actually be participating. There are various forms of worship. If you think that God only accepts your praise if you worship quietly, you are wrong, and I would love to talk to you later. There are all sorts of different forms of worship. The word of God makes it very clear, make a joyful noise unto the world, unto the Lord. And so we're talking about worship this morning, right? And so I get encouraged when I see young people and I see you having a good time and I see you worshiping God. That is so encouraging. But let me share something with you, young Christians. There's going to come a time in life when God is going to challenge you to worship him when the hard times come. That's what separates the weak from the strong. It's easy to worship God when everything is going straight. I mean, I had some of my best worship experiences when I had just got a raise, or I had just got a promotion, or I finished one of my books. I like, that's the best worship. But then God is like, can you worship me in jail? Can you worship me when you have a hard time? Can you worship me when you're sick? Can you worship me when sickness is ailing your body? Can you worship me when your wife is depressed and she doesn't want to get out of bed? Can you worship me when you lose a loved one? Can you worship me when you lose your job? Can you worship me when you don't feel like worshiping? There's a difference there. And there's so much power in worship. And so what the enemy does is the enemy wants to try to afflict your mind and captivate your thoughts and derail you. And the enemy wants to have you focused on self. Oh, but when you can step outside of your situation, when you can connect with God, it takes you to a whole nother level. That's a form of dying of self. Let me share something with you. So I've been restored now almost 5 years, and I'm so excited. October 17th, my daughter and I share the same birthday. I was rebirthed in Christ. I was rebaptized October 17th, 2009. My daughter was born October 17th, 2012. Like 3 years to the day I was baptized. That was God just confirming that I am like living within his will. I was just so amazed at that, right? But before I was baptized, I shared with some of you all my testimony. I lived a very wicked, evil life. I was possessed. I had nightclubs. I was selling drugs. My life was just a mess. And when I got restored and I left that life alone, I owed the guy that was supplying me the drugs a lot of money. We're not going to go into details, just know I owed him a lot of money. And things went sour, I didn't have the money to pay him back, but I'm restored now. So, you know, it's like we say, okay, God, I'm going to follow you. And I left the old life behind me, but that old life came looking for me. So now I'm baptized, I'm a servant for the Most High God, I'm an elder in my local church, I'm serving God, and so one day, I get a phone call. This is after my first book, From Prodigal to Prodigy, was written, and I'm traveling some, and I get a phone call, and it's from a friend of mine that used to be in this lifestyle with me, and he was still connected to this guy. And he said, hey, I just want you to know that so-and-so is looking for you. I was like, huh? Fear instantly hit me. I said, why is he looking for me? He said, you know, he said, you owe him some money, you know what I'm saying, from a year ago, and he didn't forget about you. So I'm like, man, you know, we talked about it. He said, since I was baptized and I was walking and living a new life, that, you know, my slate was wiped clean, and that was one of my big testimonies, right? And he said, look, man, all I know is he asked me, you know, where you lived, and I didn't tell him, but you should keep your eyes open. So I'm like, wow. So I know, if he catches me, you know, we're talking about either death or close to death, right? And I'm like, man, I've got my wife now. You know, come on, Lord, help me. And so I'm instantly depressed. I'm like, man, Lord. And the spirit of the enemy hit me, because the Bible makes it very clear. I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but I adopted that spirit. It's so crazy. It's like I just forgot that my God is like so big. I just forgot that my God can wipe out anything. I forgot how big my God is. Sometimes the enemy gets into our brains, and in our own way, he makes our situation so big that we forget about how big our God is. Silly me. So I'm walking around the house for like 45 minutes straight depressed. Because you know how you got the stump, the bubbles in your stomach, and you just really scared. I'm just like, man, this is not the spirit of God. I said, but Lord, I'm scared. And so I get an email from our head elder at my church. And so he said, hey, elders, don't forget to call and pray for your members. And so we've got 12 elders in my church, and so we split them up into 12 tribes, and my tribe was the tribe of Judah. And so I have a long list of members of our church, and we pray for them weekly, and we call them up and say, hey, this is Jeremy, just going to pray for you, anything you need to kind of keep an engagement, you know, going with them. And so we got an email that said, don't forget to call your members. And so the Lord, loud and clear, says, son, don't worry about that situation. Call your members. Worship with them, and pray for them. I'm thinking like, Lord, no, I need somebody to pray for me. Like, I was really scared. I'm like, if this guy figures out where I live, he could harm my wife, he could harm me. I'm going to be in some serious trouble. God says, son, don't worry about that. I want you right now to call your members, intercede on behalf of them. I'm going back and forth with God, right? And so I said, okay, I can't control what's going to happen. Let me call a few members. So I'll call the first members. Hey, this is Elder Jeremy Anderson. How are you? Hey, Pastor, good. Hey, I just called to pray for you, encourage you, see what you need. I pray with the first person. I call the next person. They don't answer. I leave my prayer on their voicemail. I'll call the next person. By the fourth or fifth person, people are sharing testimonies with me. We're worshiping on the phone. I'm starting to feel good. I cut some gospel music on in the background. I'm walking around my house just worshiping. And I'm really forgetting the situation that I had with this big dope dealer guy, right? And so I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm just having a good time with God. And so about an hour later, I am deep into worship. I mean deep. I am just hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm talking to people. I'm calling them on fire. They're telling me I was just asking the Lord to help me with something. You're right on time. I mean, it was an amazing experience. And at the end of my prayer session with all the members in my tribe, I'm walking around the house, I'm on cloud nine, I'm washing dishes, I'm just in the best, I'm like, I'm ironing, I'm like, my wife's going to be happy when she gets home from work. I'm in the best mood, forgot all about my trials, and then I get a phone call. So then it's the guy that calls me back, and I said, hey, I just spoke to so-and-so. Once again, that pit hits me, and I'm like, you know what, whatever. If he comes, if he's gonna come here, then tell him where I live. I'm not afraid of this guy. I'm on fire. I'm like, if he wants to come see me, he's gotta go through God first, right? He says, well, that's what I was calling you about. He found out that you wrote a book. And he said that his feelings was a little hurt. And he said that he's not even really worried about the money, but he just wanted to know if he could get a couple copies of your book. Blew my mind. The Bible makes it very clear that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. He puts kings up and he takes kings down. God has a way of just moving something within your soul. And this very guy that called a friend of mine 2 hours prior and said, hey, find Jeremy. I want that money. I'm coming to see him. All of a sudden now, he's not angry anymore. He just wants some books. I said, he can get a whole case of books. And I did. I gave him a bunch of books. I said, you give one to all my guys I used to deal drugs with. You give them all a book. I'm signing all of them. I wrote a book. He had like 3 kids. I wrote books to his kids. True story. But it showed me the power of worship. God said, son, I am in control. And what I had to do was I had to step outside of woe is me and intercede on behalf of other people. For me, that was a way of self-denial. That was a way of me saying, you know what, God? I'm going to give this to you. And so when he called me back, I said, you can tell him where I am. I'm not running from him anymore. Matter of fact, I'll go to him so that my wife isn't harmed. I will meet him face-to-face, man-to-man. We're going to talk this thing out. And whatever he does, God's going to have to fight this battle. Because for one, he's a big guy. For two, he can make a call and doesn't have to do anything. I mean, like, my testimony is so crazy. God is so amazing how he spared my life over and over again. And to find out how God was able to twist that thing when I activated worship, it blew my mind. So I want to share a few scriptures with you here just to show you the power of worship, just to kind of give you a better understanding. Psalms 102 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing and thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. It doesn't say come to church and then when the spirit starts to move, then worship God. It says come into his presence with thanksgiving. Come into church with worship. I challenge you to go into work with worship. Go into school with worship. You got iPods, you got smartphones and stuff. Start downloading some real holy Christian gospel music, some music that's going to bless your soul. Start putting that stuff inside your brain. And then go out into public places and watch how God uses you. Watch this here. John 4:23 says, "But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him." I believe that when we as Christians get to a point where we can move past our emotions and we can give God disciplined worship. God knows the difference when you're just going through the motions or you're just doing it or a certain song comes on. It's a mental game. A certain song comes on and you're like, ooh, that's my song. Are you focusing on the lyrics? Do you recognize who you're really singing to? Worship for me is like twofold. Like, it gives me a time to get to a place. It gives me a time to get to a point where I can show my appreciation to God, where I can show my love to God, when I can show my commitment to God, when I can let God know how much I love him, when I want to be in his presence. That's what worship does for me. And I feel like when he's filling me with his spirit and I'm connected with him and I'm worshiping him, I feel like I am unstoppable. Sometimes I find myself, I'll be in my home church and we'll be doing praise and worship. And by the time praise and worship is done, I'll be facing a crowd somewhere. I'll be like in a whole other place because I'm just going to a special place. I don't care what people think. I don't care who's looking at me. I'm having time with God. And I can't help but close my eyes because I don't want to be distracted by Sister So-and-so or my friend over here. I want to just connect with God, the one who created me, the one who gave me life, the one who restored me, the one who gave me the mind to worship. So I close my eyes and I worship him and I just let him lead me wherever he's going. And so I just believe that when we as young Christians can get to a point where we can worship God in the midst of a trial, that's where our victory lies. Our victory lies in worship. And so I want to share with you a quick story here because I want to make sure that we have a good understanding of what's happening and how in the Bible days and today, all right, I shared with you the power of worship in my life and how that just turned crazy situations around in a matter of hours. But I want to also share with you how worship can confuse the enemy. If you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I want to share a story with you about King Jehoshaphat. All right, so if you have your Bibles, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and I'm going to read around verse. Let me let you know what's going on first so I don't have to read three whole chapters to catch you up. There are three armies that is about to attack King Jehoshaphat and his people. All right? Three different armies. That's like the U.S. having to fight West Korea and, you know, two other countries, like all at one. Like the three different armies that's about to attack King Jehoshaphat and his people. All right, so turn with me if you have your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Three different armies are coming. They get to a point where King Jehoshaphat finds out what's happening. He goes to God. He says, God, we're your children. We're your people. We need your help. We can't make it without you. And he's praying to God. And so something interesting happened here. At one point in verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord fell upon one of the young people. They were having a meeting, right? This is what the young person said. Follow me here. This is right after King Jehoshaphat and his tribe, the Judas, all the people, they're about to get attacked by three different armies are on the way coming to take them out. The Spirit of the Lord fell upon someone. And he said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judea and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord said to you." Follow me here. This is so amazing. "Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the vast army, for the battle is not yours. It's God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge of the desert of Juriel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord that he will give you to Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Wow. Wow. So God, the Spirit of God falls upon one of the young guys. He says, listen, you're not going to have to fight this battle. This battle is God's, but God wants you to show up and to go there and go to this specific place, but just know you're not going to have to fight. Like, that's all he said. That's all the Lord told him. And so as you read verse 18 and 19, because King Jehoshaphat has such a, he has such a faith in God, and we talked about the power of faith last night, because he has such a faith in God and he knew what God said God will do, we better start believing what God says in his word he will do. He puts together a praise team. He puts together a choir. And he said, we're going to march to battle. And on the way to battle, we're going to worship all the way there. Don't take my word for it. Jehoshaphat bowed his face to the ground. All the people of Judea and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. Then when you read verse 19 and 20 and 21, you know, you see that they're worshiping. And this is what their praise and worship lyrics here. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, his love endures forever. Like they work, that's not what I said, this is what the Bible said. I just imagine them singing, marching into battle, right? Now when they get to battle, let me fast forward and show you to where they get to battle, because when they get to the place, because we're talking about how your worship confuses the enemy. Like this is a spiritual battle, so there are angels, there are demons, even now fighting, right? Fighting on behalf of us. Our angels are fighting on behalf of us, right? And when situations happen, we instantly start to panic. And God is just like, I got you. Don't be afraid. And so here, they worshiped all the way to battle. Let me read. I don't want you to take my word for it. I want to read it here. Boom, 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 boom. All right, here we go. As they begun, this is so amazing. All right, so now we're in chapter 22. As they begun to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against, follow me here. As they began to sing and praise. So as they're worshiping, the word of God says, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Watch what happens here. The Ammonites and the Moabites rose against themselves and against the men from Mount Seir and destroyed and annihilated them. After they finished slaughtering the men of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So this is crazy now. You got three different armies marching together, right, into battle. And now King Jehoshaphat and his people, they're worshiping God. And as they're worshiping God, for whatever reason, two of the armies get angry at the other army, and they destroy that army, and then those two armies get mad at each other, and they destroy each other, right? This is so amazing. Now, King Jehoshaphat and his people, they got no clue what's happening. They just believe in the power of God, and they knew that they would be delivered, and so they worshiped in advance. Follow me here. When the Spirit of God fell upon that young person in that tribe, he didn't say, go into battle, God's going to cover you, and worship God there. He just said, look, this is the word from the Lord. God's going to deliver you. You're not going to have to fight. God's got you. Just go there. And since they believed in the word of God, since they believed that God would deliver them, then they gave their worship to God. And they said, thank you, Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord. His mercy and grace endures forever. And they marched into battle victorious, didn't even know what was going to happen. Right? All right, so let's fast forward here. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked towards the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days to collect it. We're talking about my God. We're talking about a tribe, a group of people, a king that believed in the power of God. And when they got word that three armies were coming, he worshiped. Spend time. We don't have time today. This is like Sabbath school. But take some time and read 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 19 and 20. Just read that, right? Whatever version, read it. If you got King James, great. If you don't, just young people, just read the word of God. Find something that works for you and just spend time in his word. And then when you get disciplined and you have a better understanding of his word, then you can shift over to more more direct interpretations like the King James Version. But read his word. It's so amazing. So they said, oh, no, three armies are coming to get me. Whatever shall we do? Jehoshaphat said, look, I don't know, but I'm about to worship and I'm about to pray to the Lord. So we got his elders together. They worshiped, they prayed, they fasted. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon someone. And he said, hey, y'all, I don't know what happened, but God just told me, y'all don't have to worry about nothing. You don't have to fight. All you got to do is go to battle and you're going to be victorious because the battle is the Lord's. And they're like, really? That was from God? Yep. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. His mercy endureth forever. They go into battle. They get to battle. All the armies done killed each other. Everybody's dead. And then they're like, wow. And the Lord's like, hey, you can have their equipment. And there was so much equipment. Those three armies were so big, it took them 3 days to collect everything. What am I telling you this morning? Sometimes God has to place you in the enemy's territory to place you in miracle territory. God is trying to increase your faith. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Why are we still trying to fight our own battles? At what point do we recognize the great God that we serve? And we begin to worship him in spirit and in truth? There's something there. Spirit and in truth. God knows your heart. He knows when your worship is real and when it's fake. The Bible says they worship me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. You can't fool God. It's time to have real serious worship, and we cannot seriously connect with God and really give him worship if we're worried about other things. You can't have fear and faith at the same time. And so I like to share personal experiences mixed with the word of God because for some of us, you may think, oh, that was back in the Bible days. Oh, no, that same God is on the throne. That same God lives today. Jesus is alive. He rose again. And he is coming again soon. And you can be just as victorious as they were back in the Bible days, but you've got to have faith. The Bible did not say that King Jehoshaphat got depressed. The Bible did not say that he got scared and he didn't know what he was going to do. The Bible said that when he found out that they were coming, that he stopped, he prayed, he fasted, and he worshiped God. He said, God, we can't do this. We can't fight this army. We can't fight this battle. This is yours. We're your people. It's time to start claiming that. It's time to start saying, God, she is being mean to me, and I am your child. It's time to start saying, God, I'm getting sick, but I need you to use me. It's time for us to start saying, Lord, I need your help. And then when we turn to the word of God and we find all the scriptures, let me tell you something. You can Google. Those of you who's dealing with, let me tell you something. Use technology. You can Google stuff. You can just say, what does the Bible say about faith? Or what does the Bible say about victory? And you'll have a ton of scriptures come up that will encourage you. And then you know what you do? You read those scriptures, and then you believe what the word of God says, and then you worship God. There's power in worship. So those of you that accepted the appeal yesterday, that said, I want to be baptized. I want to be rebaptized. I want to hit that reset button on life. I want to live for God. Praise the Lord. And God is going to take you to a whole nother level. But let me tell you something. When you played video games back in the day, you never got past one level and just instantly go to the next. At the end of one level, at the end of one area, there was a bad guy that you had to defeat. There was something you got to do. If you're in the sports, you don't get to the finals or the championship. You got to go through the playoffs. You have to beat one team, and then when you do it, then you go to the next level. In life, it's the same thing. When you're in school, you're in 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th grade, you gotta have a final exam. And then when you pass that test, then you go to the next level. Then you go to the next grade, the same as such in your spiritual walk. You don't go to the next level by somebody sprinkling heaven pixie dust over you. No. There are going to be trials. There are going to be situations. There are going to be hard times. And God is going to test your faith. And if you're faithful, and if you believe in him, you worship, you stand fast, unremovable, and say, God, I'm going to worship you regardless of what I see. You see, there's a difference between eyesight and insight. You see, eyesight sees things in the physical. Eyesight says, oh, no, I lost my job, whatever will I do? Like, that's what eyesight says. But insight, knowing that the Spirit of God is working in your life, insight says, okay, God, obviously you didn't want me working for this company or you didn't want me working at this place, so maybe you have something new in store for me. Far too often, we operate off of what we can see. We operate off of emotions. And I believe that God is calling us to have a certain level of discipline when it comes to serving him. He's calling an army that can worship him regardless of how we feel. He's calling up an army of young people, a band of young soldiers that's willing to say, you know what, Lord, this is rough, but it is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my soul, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, God has called me to say, it is well with my soul. When peace like a river, like peace, it just attendeth my soul. That's the good times, right? But also when sorrows like sea billows roll, that's the big waves. Whatever my lot, God has called me to say, it is well with my soul. When my wife and I got married, we had blessing after blessing after blessing. It was so crazy. Matter of fact, in chapter 9 or 10 of my first book, From Prodigal to Prodigy, I had to name a chapter after Ephesians 3:20 that says, now unto him, who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ask or think. I just had blessing after blessing after blessing coming. And I was like, wow. And God said, get prepared though, son, because a storm is coming. What I'm doing here is I'm honoring your faith. I'm honoring the fact that you gave everything to me. I'm honoring that you left the fornication alone. You left the drugs and alcohol. You left the nightclubs. You left the dope game alone. You left it all alone. You gave me everything. So I'm going to bless you and honor that. So everybody that was laughing at you, oh, look at Jeremy. He's going to be a preacher. See how blessed you are. Increase the faith of your wife. But in order to get y'all to the next level, trials will come. Hard times are going to come, so get prepared. And so in the midst of it, we were like getting blessed after blessed. Matter of fact, the blessings were so abundant that we went to my wife's. My wife worked for NASA, like for my government contractor, right? We went to her Christmas party, right? And they gave away flat screen TVs and iPads and all this stuff. And so they give you a card and you can put your name on it. And they got like 5 boxes. And you put your name inside whatever box gift you want. And so that's right when the iPads first came out. She was like, oh, I really want an iPad. I said, well, honey, let's put in the iPad. She said, we're going to pray on it. I said, we'll pray on it. And she said, honey, we're going to win this iPad. I'm like we were getting blessed with the blessings that praise the Lord. We're going to win this iPad. And she put her name in there to win the iPad. And she told, her faith was so strong, she told that whole, everybody at that Christmas gala, we're going to win the iPad. What'd you bid for? I didn't bid for anything. We're going to win the iPad. People were laughing. Oh, you're so crazy. And so at that dinner table, I said, Lord, my wife's faith in you right now is so strong. Please, God, don't let her down. If it's not your will, who cares? We can't afford an iPad. Maybe you don't want us to have one. That's fine. I said, but if it's your will, just in case she thinks we're blessed because we got degrees, I want her to know, God, that we have your favor. So, Lord, I pray, if it's your will, that you just show yourself one more time to my wife. Because he had been blessing us over and over again. But just in case, in the back of her mind, she figured, well, no, you just get a good job and a good career and things work out. No. I wanted her to know that this was the favor of God. And I prayed that prayer during supper. And let me tell you something. At the end of that Christmas gala, they begin to announce all of the gifts. And they save the iPad for last. They said they have this big box. It's like 400... like 400 or 500 people, they got a big box with all the names, and they dug in there. They said, the winner for the iPad is, and my wife, this is so crazy, like, so we're sitting down, we're all dressed up, I've got my tux on, you know, the winner of the iPad is, she says, Tracy Anderson. Everybody giggles and laughs at her, like, oh, you're so crazy. Tracy's boss said, Tracy, sit down. I'm thinking, like, don't talk to my wife like that. No, but he says, Tracy, sit down. And so they said, everybody giggles. And so the lady goes in there, and she pulls her name out, and she says, oh, my God, Tracy Anderson. I'm like, what? My wife is like, I already knew. I'm like, wow. I said, that is faith. It's people in there crying and everything because she said the Lord's going to bless us with this iPad. People in there like, God is so real. I'm like, yes, he is. Let me tell you. We had experience after experience after experience. God was just showing, making blessings in our lives. And God says, son, I need you to begin to get prepared because a storm is coming. So I'm like, man, Lord. And so when me and my wife would have worship in the morning, I would tell her, I would say, honey, we have to say, come with me. We have to say, come with me. We have to say, come with me. When the hard times come, we have to say, come with me. And boy, did they come. you know, I'll show you all a picture of my beautiful daughter, right? But it wasn't always easy like that. Man, it wasn't always easy like that. We had some really hard times. Miscarriage. Then the baby was growing. Heartbeat got caught in her fallopian tube. They had to remove her tube. Oh, it was rough. It was rough. Her best friend, our goddaughter, had a stillbirth. I mean, it was just rough. It was like calamity was plaguing my family right when the ministry was taking off. And I was like, God, why? And he said, son, I told you this would happen. But you got to be strong. Worship me in spirit and in truth. Know that I'm in control. Your wife is watching you. Your faith has to be strong. You can't walk around the house all sad and depressed. You got to love on her. Keep the worship high. And so I had to encourage my wife. Now they got her on the anxiety and depression pills. And I'm angry. I'm like, God, how come you're not enough? He said, just be patient. Just trust me. Just love on her. So I'm praying. And I'm like, God, I want you to see you move. And he began to move. And he began to bless. And we had a dark cloud. It's so crazy because I was traveling so much. And I was fighting for the Lord. And it's so interesting because whenever I would step up in the pulpit at various cities and states and countries, and I would think about how my wife is feeling and how she was getting attacked at home, I don't know what the devil thought. Maybe the devil thought I was going to tuck my tail. Maybe he thought I was going to complain and cry. But when he attacked my family, I said, God, I'm going for you harder than I've ever gone for you in my life. I will worship you boldly. I will sing, Lord. I will enter into the gates of thanksgiving, God. I will enter into your courts with praise. I will worship you. I will preach your word. I will serve you. That's how we fight back. The battle is the Lord's, not ours. But we've got to get to the point where we are disciplined. What I could have did, I could have been real ignorant and said, Lord, I'm serving you. Why would you allow this to happen to my family? I could have been real ignorant and had that mindset. I could have questioned God, but I said, nope, I won't do it. My wife needs me to be strong right now. Look at the story of Job. Why do you think Job went through what he went through? So that you and I can know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. What did Job's wife say? She said, just curse God and die. Could you imagine the countenance of her face? Can you imagine how her faith was increased? Can you imagine how convicted she was when Job stayed faithful and he did not curse God? He questioned God some, but he didn't curse God and he stayed on the track, and then God blessed him with double. The word of God never said that God gave him a new wife. No, it said Job and his wife had double the amount of kids. You can imagine her faith was increased from that situation. I'm sharing with you all intimate parts of my life that I probably wouldn't share if my wife was here. But I want you to know there is power in worship. And God is calling for us to be disciplined in the mind. In the last days, when we're not able to buy, when we're not able to sell, when we're out here having to fend for ourselves, and it's us and the Spirit of God, when we don't have no iPhones because they can track this stuff right here, when we ain't going to be able to have Bibles, when we have to have those scriptures written on our hearts, all we're going to have is our faith in God. At that time, all we're going to have is hymns. I know some of you may not like hymns. Those are precious hymns. And those are going to be some of the best songs that we're going to be singing when we're out here in the wilderness, fending for ourselves with the fears of God. There's going to come a time when we're going to be in some serious, serious trouble. And God is trying to equip us now. We're not ready for the latter rain. We're not ready for the time of trouble. We got to start getting conditioned and move past how we feel and begin to operate off of principle. Father in heaven, God, in this Sabbath school session, this message, I don't know what this was, God. I'm just giving your children what you told me to give them, Lord. Father, will you please increase our faith? God, we want to be strong in you, God. We don't want to just worship you when things are going good, God. We want to worship you at any time in our lives, through the good and through the bad, God. We want to be able to exalt your name. We want to be able to know, God, that you are in control, Father. Help us to believe that, God. Help us to believe that you are truly in control. Give us a sense of peace, God, when the enemy comes through like a flood to take us out, Lord. Raise up a standard against him, Lord. Protect us and keep us, God. Help our worship to be our mode, our means of attack, God. The same way you blessed Paul and Silas, Lord, and their worship set them free, Lord. Set us free through worship. The same way you blessed King Jehoshaphat and you gave them the victory, Lord, through worships, give us the same victory. The same way you blessed King Hezekiah, Lord, and you sent the angel to take out 138,000 of his enemies, God, at one time, Lord. Send those type of angels. But before you do it, God, help us to have a faith in you that you can do it. Help us not to believe the enemy, God. We don't want to operate off of eyesight, what we can see with our eyes, Lord, because we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, God. We have to have a faith in you, God. Increase our faith and help us, God, to every day, regardless of our situation, worship you in spirit and in truth. Now, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon this campground. Be with all of the presenters, God, who are preparing messages, Lord, who are getting ready to preach and reach out to them, Lord. Ken Cox or whoever's preaching with the adults, Lord. Be with my brother Nathan in a special way, Lord, as he's presenting twice today. God, just fill us presenters, God. Give us exactly what you want us to share with your children so that we can grow, God. Continue to allow revival take place on this campground. We love you, Father, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.